I'd like now to welcome to the program Eberhard Riedel. He is a clinical social worker, a Jungian psychoanalyst, and a photographer. And he is going to be in Santa Fe this coming weekend. He's giving a lecture on Friday called Fundamentalism and the Quest for the Grail, Experiences in Relating, and teaching a workshop called Encountering Curiosity, Photography for Healing and Peace. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so very much, Mary Charlotte.
It's a great pleasure to have you on the air. It's a very interesting combination of things that you do, and one of the things that I noticed in the description of the lecture you're going to be giving on fundamentalism is this whole question of what are the tendencies in the human psyche that cause fundamentalism in the first place. And I was wondering whether you could speak to maybe the smaller latent qualities in ordinary people that deal to, that contribute to extremism in individuals and in groups.
Well, that's a very difficult question. You see, we all have our narratives by which we explain ourselves, what we're feeling, what we are thinking, how we explain the people we are with, the people we are relating to, our environment, the community at large, the country, and the world. And it seems that we have a tendency to make just a few fundamental assumptions about what makes the world go around. And on the other hand, we seem to be easily challenged if our neighbor next door has another narrative. So we want him to have the same narrative because then we don't feel threatened. And I think it's this kind of basic mechanism that is at the core of what I call this fundamentalism in all of us.
Now, there are some of us who have a kind of natural tendency to feel like, hey, they're this way, I'm that way, live and let live, and other people who really have a strong tendency to say, I'm this way and everybody else should too. And in our lives, we really encounter both kinds of people, and I was wondering what makes people tend one direction versus the other? Is that a kind of natural tendency, or people raised to feel one way or the other?
You know, I believe it has to do with our experience in life and what threatens us and how we are raised. Are we raised in an open way, or are we raised by anxious parents? And these are very good questions, Mary Charlotte, and I will go in great detail into those topics in the Friday evening lecture. But it seems, I mentioned, we all have our own narrative, and it seems that the fundamentalist core in us tries to turn the subjective narrative into authoritative rules that you and the other people better follow, otherwise bad things will happen to you.
When you come across these tendencies in your patients, you are a therapist, you're a Jungian psychoanalyst, you're a social worker, a clinical social worker, how do those tendencies, fundamentalist tendencies as we're calling them, contribute to suffering and require healing? And how do you go about a healing process when you encounter those in a patient?
Well, another very good question. Thank you. One of the suffering that I observe with patients who come in to see me and say, I need to get over this. I'm feeling stuck. One of the suffering they report is what we call psychosomatic illness. In other words, their bodily complaints that physician tells them has no physical source. So the reason is emotional difficulties. And when we as humans do not develop emotional pathways or pathways for processing these distresses at an emotional level, then often psychosomatic illness results. So that would be at a psychosomatic level. But mostly people come in because they feel stuck in their emotional lives, be that in their relationships or at work.
One of the kinds of fundamentalisms that I think is really with us a lot is homophobia, people who think that it's wrong to be gay. And a lot of the time those people are gay deep underneath it all, or have gay tendencies themselves. And the reason that they're threatened is because they're not actually telling the truth to themselves. And I wonder what is the role of just truth and lies of that kind in healing the kind of rigid tendencies that we associate with fundamentalism.
Well, when you say don't tell the truth to themselves, they have a narrative. But somewhere they know that their own narrative has an inconsistency, and that makes for anxiety. And if such a person can be led to living with his or her uncomfortable feelings, what are these uncomfortable feelings telling me? And over time, there can be a relaxation, a lessening of the anxiety, and some healing setting in.
We're talking to Eberhard Riedel. You are also giving a workshop when you're here this weekend in Santa Fe called Encountering Curiosity, Photography for Healing and Peace. And you have gone to some of the most terrifying and horrible war zones in Africa. You've been to Rwanda and the Congo and taken photographs there, and some of them are on your website, which is camereswithoutborders.org. How do you see the role of photography as a healing tool in places like this, or indeed anywhere?
A great question. Let me detour for a moment. As you know, the Santa Fe Jung Institute has a year-long series of lectures and workshops entitled Civilization in Transition. Dr. Jacqueline West chairs that community program, and I'm very grateful for her invitation. And the Jung Institute invites us to engage in individual and community reflection so that we all may better contribute to the healing of the soul of the world. Now, that is the motto of the lecture series. So one of the questions we will be discussing on Friday and Saturday is, how might we do this? How might we contribute to the healing of the collective, each one of us in our own personal ways? The contribution of my discussion that you just mentioned on encountering or reawakening curiosity and photography for social healing and for peace tells part of my story. An individual can make a difference, and I will tell about my story and how this all came about, and what I'm doing in the field work. And it goes all back to the 9/11 events, when I felt I needed to move beyond the confines of my psychoanalytical consulting room. And so back in 2004, I started field work in Africa as a photographer and psychologist. I didn't go there with a big plan. I just went to listen and to learn at the grassroots level, face to face with the African people. And as you told your listeners, I focused on crisis areas in Uganda, in eastern Congo, South Sudan, and Kenya. Now, your question was, how does photography and photography come together, if I understand you correctly.
Yeah.
Well, let me start with another story. How did the idea emerge of bringing together art and psychology in the service of social healing? It was back in 2004 when I pondered how to scale treatment methods developed for the psychological consulting room, how to scale those to large numbers of traumatized people and communities. And my wife and I were working with children in an isolated village in South Africa, and I noticed how incredibly curious they were about everything I did with my camera. So with the questions in the back of my mind and experience in trauma treatment and groups, I immediately knew here's a perfect tool to engage these trauma survivors and bridge cultural divides. Then, of course, came more of the thinking. Why does this work? You see, war and violence breaks links, and people flee from their villages, people are displaced from their natural environments, they are moved into camps, they end up in slums, so there's a loss of connectivity with self and other people. And how do we help people to become curious about themselves and regain some of that connection? That is the psychological question. That is the healing question. Curiosity plays a big role in that, because a person who is traumatized pretty much shut down and not involved much in the world. How do you help that person to break the walls that locks the person in? And this is where I feel the arts have an important role to play.
Now, with children who are naturally curious and even traumatized children, I would think that the arts would be a way of bringing them out, and that it would be somehow harder with adults. Is that true? How do you, I mean, some of the stories on your website of people who have been so brutalized and raped and their family members killed in front of them and re-raped, and I can't even do the leap of imagination to put myself into their shoes, but I can imagine that I wouldn't want to know anything about anything or anybody, and that's the loss of curiosity. Are you able to rekindle that in adults who've been through those kinds of experiences?
Yes. That is the mystery of the arts. The arts do challenge us to look at what happened, to begin to look at what happened. And let me again maybe answer with a story. With the survivors of these terrible rape situations, gang rape situations in Eastern Congo, I have done many of these psychotherapeutic photographic workshops. After I teach them how to use these cameras, I ask them, for example, to come up with ideas of how they want to render something bad that happened to me and something good that happened to me. For example, in the Congo, it would not be physically safe to revisit the places where the crimes actually happened. So these women then come up with play acting. And through play acting, the play acting serves to express the affect. That affect gets expressed in the image, the photogrammic image. Half of the group would do the play acting, and the other part of the group would do the witnessing with the cameras. So play acting serves to express affect in the images, and the witnessing and holding the printed photographs in one's hand then invites processing the affect. And it's quite amazing how this is working. People come up with wonderful descriptions and, I can do this. I can learn new things. I am somebody. I made this picture. I am able to learn, etc.
So they're actually, on some level, reenacting the moment of the trauma that happened to them? That's the play acting?
That is the play acting. And I'm not directing them to do this. I just ask them, come up with some ideas. How do you want to render something bad that happened to me? And I always put the opposite there as well, something good that happened to me. And in several situations, they came up with the idea of, we make a sketch, we play act. Some of them get men's dresses, and they get sticks that are the guns, and they get into it.
Let me ask you a question. So imagine two scenarios. One in which they're play-acting the trauma and being witnessed, and the other in which they're play-acting the trauma and being witnessed, and there's a photographic document of that witnessing. What's the difference in having that photograph? What, psychologically?
The photograph they can hold in their hand, and there's a connection, there's a strong connection between image and affect. And in our processing, after they do the photograph, I print photographs, and we put all photographs down, and I ask the question, what are these photographs telling you? So now becomes comes the therapeutic processing, and this is when these stories pour out.
We're talking to Eberhard Riedel about his upcoming events with the C.G. Jung Society of Santa Fe. You spoke a moment ago about the healing of the collective soul, or collective healing, healing a group. And one thing that I'm always struck by is how every generation, probably in the history of civilization, there have been people who are healers and wise people, and there are people who are basically warlords and mafia and things like that. And it just seems that no matter how many people go through the healing process, in the next generation, there's another group of traumatizers, people who commit horrible acts of violence against the people around them, and you just start all over again. And I wonder if you have a hope of a collective healing that actually goes to collectives that are larger than, let's say, a village or a small group of people.
Well, you know, in one of the Congolese villages, a man said to me that healing starts through education. Healing starts at home. That was in the context of our discussing the difficulty of the children to receive education. Many of the children are either orphans or they are raised by single mothers who are completely overwhelmed and often traumatized. There's no money for school fees. And one big concern I have is the intergenerational transmission of trauma. Because when the trauma now gets transmitted to these children, and we have one traumatized mother and maybe four children, and it goes on. And that then feeds the next cycle of violence. One of my insights and conclusions from the field work in Africa is we need to pay much attention to this issue of intergenerational transmission of trauma. And I believe it is related to the question that you're asking, Mary Charlotte. How come? One way of paying attention to this intergenerational transmission of trauma is by providing psychosocial help to the victims of trauma. Because if we don't, then we continue to propagate this, what I would call the trauma environment in which these children grow up.
Eberhard Riedel is a clinical social worker, Jungian psychoanalyst, and photographer. His website is camerswithoutborders.org, and he will be in Santa Fe today and tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, tonight giving a lecture called Fundamentalism and the Quest for the Grail, Experiences of Relating, and then tomorrow a workshop, Encountering Curiosity, Photography for Healing and Peace. It's all sponsored by the C.G. Jung Society of Santa Fe and will take place at the Center for Spiritual Living on Camino de los Marques, right near the Santa Fe Baking Company here in Santa Fe. For information and registration, please contact Jacqueline at 984-0102. Dr. Riedel, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Mary, Charlotte, it's a great pleasure to talking with you, and thank you for your wonderful questions. And I'm looking forward to meeting many of the your community, of your Santa Fe community, on Friday and Saturday.
I'd like now to welcome to the program Diane Karp. She's Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she's with us now speaking of the arts. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you so much for having me on the air.
Thank you for getting up.
I want to send a big hi out to Rob DeWalt and Robert Knott, my co-workers, who I think are awesome.
They are awesome, and Rob can't be here for a bit, and he's the most wonderful thing ever, as is Robert Knott. So, no Bobapalooza. You know, I'm going to be talking to Bob Edwards soon, and I was just reading Bob Edwards' memoir, and one of the chapters in it is called Bobapalooza.
Oh, I love it.
And I was looking at it, and I was like, we made that up.
That's right. Does he know that he took that from you?
He stole it preemptively.
That's hard to do.
I know.
You know, Santa Fe is a special place.
So, what's happening this weekend?
Well, like most weekends, there is an astounding amount that's going on. And one of the
for
things...
For a town of this size?
For any town, even for a town the size of London. One of the things that's really sweet is there's a kind of theme happening this weekend that centers around art doing good. And the big art doing good piece, obviously, is Art Feast. And this is their 15th annual iteration of it. And there's remarkable work all around the town. It's galleries and restaurants pitching in and creating a sort of weekend-long event focusing on the ability to raise money for arts in the schools. And it's a remarkable system. And if you go to the PASA, you will find on page 37 a list of all the participating galleries and the times and everything else. But this edible art tour is primarily on Canyon Road and downtown in Santa Fe.
See,
well worth supporting.
First, I thought you meant doing good by feeding me good food.
Oh, yes, that's part of it. Part of it is
feeding
that they're going
us
to
good food.
Show you good art and feed you good food, but the outcome is that they're going to raise money that will go to the Santa Fe Public Schools for arts in the schools, if I'm not mistaken, primarily the elementary schools.
Excellent.
And one of them that I'm going to sort of point out is an astounding exhibition by a young man named Wesley Carr, who's 18 years old. He's a local, and it's at William and Joseph Gallery down on Canyon Road. And what Wes has done is he's directing his interest on organ trafficking. And it came as a response to reading an article about the Chinese government selling organs as a way of making money, both making money for them and making money for some of their citizens.
Because there were so many church organs that needed repair?
Gee, the church organs would have been too big to make in glass, and so what Wes has done is he's making human organs, like hearts and kidneys and livers. And the thing that's so fabulous is he's really smart.
They really are beautiful.
They're beautiful objects. He's hysterically funny and very smart, and he's a product of the Santa Fe school systems. He went to Monte del Sol and then graduated early and went on to do the advanced program at the community college. And he, not only are the works beautiful, not only is it a powerful statement, but he worked with Connie's, with the butcher department, to create labels that talk about weight and cost.
Oh, my goodness.
It's really a marvelously fresh and quite wonderful exhibition.
Excellent.
And another exhibition that's really focusing on doing good, is a show at A Sea in the Desert Gallery, which is on Guadalupe Street, that's opening tonight. They're going to have a silent auction, and it's to raise money for Haiti. And the title of the exhibition is called Remembering Haiti. So there's an amazing amount of art doing good that's going on in Santa Fe that makes me very proud.
Excellent.
Another thing that's going on that's a kind of coming together is there are two very interesting clay exhibitions that open, one at Baca Street Pottery and the other one at Santa Fe Clay. And Baca Street is going to have a kiln opening, which is a wonderful thing to watch, and a functional ceramic exhibition that starts at 4 p.m. today. So if you can get over there, that might be a chance to see something that you may never have experienced before. Zane Bennett Contemporary has a wonderful group exhibition called Under 35, and it's really lively work. Zane Bennett is one of the galleries in town that does a lot of good.
Indeed.
For the community, supporting organizations, forwarding, you know, important issues. So I would go over there and check that one out. Opens at 5 tonight, and obviously it'll run for a while. And the other two exhibitions that I think are really interesting in town, one opens tonight, is the Charlotte Jackson. It's a series of triptychon paintings, which means I think that there are three in each group. Call me crazy. And they're paintings by Alfonso Bianchi. And Charlotte Jackson, they're probably minimalist, clean, you know, very, very interesting. And to that theme goes the work of Ole Chabonin, who is a Taos painter, who is one of the greats of New Mexico, and Chabonin's work is up at James Kelly Fine Arts. So you got two sharp-edged, clean, thoughtful, minimalist, abstract things to look at.
And completely not speaking of the arts, can we just say that Felines and Friends is a local cat rescue organization, and this week's featured cat is Sammy, who is a very young cat with short black coat, and she's a little bit shy, but she will grow into being affectionate and social if she is given love. If you want to adopt that kitty or any kitty, call 505-316-2281, and you can go to fandfnm.org.
Not S-N-M,
no.
But F-N-M.
F, Felines and Friends, New Mexico.
Great. Yeah, we want that clear. We don't want anyone doing anything terrible to cats.
No, we do not.
So in the classical music area for the week, certainly for today, and we're going to go through the whole weekend day by day so people can sort of focus on what they want to do when they want to do it.
Yeah, except I'll probably do random stuff.
We understand that. I'm a linear thinker and you're a non-linear thinker, and we have to sort of make this dance work.
Wait, are we doing Friday?
We're doing Friday.
Okay, today's Friday. Can I have another one?
Today is Friday. Oh, please, go.
United for a Fair Economy is in Santa Fe today. And you can become part of their responsible wealth network to reduce the extreme inequality and build a stronger and more equitable society. Friday tonight from 5 to 7 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation. There's an event at 5 o'clock. You can arrive and meet people. And at 5:30, they'll be talking about this whole thing. Brian Miller, who's executive director of United for a Fair Economy, will discuss how to rein in extreme inequality and restore more broadly shared prosperity.
When you said that, I thought it was a society for a fairy economy, and I thought if we could get the good fairy in, she might be able to help us rein in some of the greed and abuse.
Clap your hands.
So tonight, there's amazing classical music going on. The Manhattan Piano Trio, which is doing Brahms, Ravel, and Behzad Rajabana, Raji Baran is going to be at St. John's, which is, St. John's always has the most remarkable concerts, and they're always free.
I know.
Up at Peterson Student Center. We've got some other things going on. There's some youth activity that opens tonight. Greer Garson opens their big play. It's called A Comedy Noir. That's about the world of women's wrestling, should be entertaining. That's at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design over there at Greer Garson. And the Winter Dance Escape, which is the NDI student performance, opens tonight as well at the Dance Barns. So there's lots to see. There's also Damn Yankees that's being performed at Prep. So you've got three pretty interesting youth events that are going on, demonstrating how talented our young people in Santa Fe are.
You're really organized.
I know.
I'm not.
My kids used to moan about that all the time. And the other two things that are going on tonight, obviously, are 4x4x4 Theater Work is premiering its performance called Sworn to Water. And they're also doing Psalm of the Castle. And
this is the last weekend.
And Storm is the last weekend for Theater Grotesco, which is two persons performing with some absolutely astoundingly brilliant musicians. It's quite an event and definitely worth checking out.
Now, I got a notice from the legal tender at the Lamy Railroad and History Museum, and they are telling us that tonight legal tender tornadoes are performing from 9 in the afternoon, from the 9 of the evening on? No.
9 in the afternoon. Start drinking at 9
the
if
music
you call it the
is
afternoon.
The music is from 6 to 9, but they're open from noon to 9, and that's at the legal tender. And then tomorrow, the Rail Yard Reunion is performing, and once again, if you want to call them, 466-1650 or thelegaltender.com.
Great. So now that you took us into Saturday, I'm going to take you right along with that. Photo Eye Gallery has a remarkable exhibition of Steve Fitch's photographs.
Fitch. I had Steve Fitch on.
You spoke with Steve Fitch. Steve Fitch has made the American highway system and highway culture visible. You know, these are places, back roads that none of us would ever go, that are not only amazing places, and it sort of underlines the role of the arts. Artists have just bizarre fascinations sometimes, and those fascinations take them all over the world, and we get to go with them. And Steve Fitch's
photographs, in a Buick.
In a Buick, absolutely. And Steve Fitch's photographs are not only fascinating because of where they take you and what they show you, they're beautiful. They're beautiful color photographs, well worth a visit to Photo Eye Gallery over there on Garcia Street. And as to Art Doing Good, my theme, I'm bringing it back in for Saturday, the first thing on my list is that Saturday is a screening and discussion about a film called Misrepresentation, which is going to be taking place at the Hemis Room of the Santa Fe Community College at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
And misrepresentation, like Miss America.
Like Miss America. And what it is about the powerful influence that media has had on how we think of female imagery. That you either have to be super thin and mindless, or you're just, you know, a raging bitch. And the sort of conflicts that are presented to young women as they're growing up, and the force that it's had on how we see each other as women, how the society sees young women, and the roles that young women can see for themselves that are never really presented in the media.
You know the one that I like?
Which one?
Nerd.
Nerd. Yeah, I was kind of the nerd. You know, it's somewhere back in sixth grade, a whole bunch of us were sitting around together, and the question that was raised by one of my friend's moms, who was always asking those probing questions, was, do you want to be seen as beautiful? Do you want to be seen as smart? Or do you want to be seen as valuable in a larger context?
Yes.
And the answer was yes. So
I was talking to a
friend
of mine.
But of course, we were all nerds. None of us were beautiful, and none of us were stylish, and none of us were at the center of the clique.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's in his 20s and said that basically talked about being a kind of nerdy high school kid and how that just did not quite cut it. And he said, you missed your time. He said, that's what's hot now. Nerdy girls are super cool.
Well,
and desirable and everything else. I guess I missed my era.
I would venture to say that nerdy girls are becoming more cool than they might have been at one point in time. But I think during the 60s, nerdy girls were about as powerful a force as you could find. So to my theme of art doing good is not only that film screening, but the Faith Amour Quartet is a jazz vocalist, which... performing as a fundraiser for the NAACP at the Unitarian Church, and that one takes place on Saturday. I don't have a time for it, but I'm sure if you call over there at 471-6798, they'll tell you. And the other is the annual event that presents the Santa Fe Youth Symphony Association at the Scottish Rite Center. And that's going to be their spotlight on youth performance. And it's always a real pleasure. So you can look into going over to the Pepto-Dismal Church over there, the Scottish Rites Center. The other thing that's really phenomenal, and we're talking seriously, besides Met at the Opera in HD, which you can never get a ticket to, is that the Seizmanowski String Quartet is going to be performing Mendelssohn, Beethoven, and Bach, as well as Seizmanowski himself as a composer, at the New Mexico Museum of Art in their auditorium on Saturday evening. And Seizmanowski is a sort of completely undervalued and under-acknowledged Polish composer. And the quartet was formed in order to forward his work, a lot of which is chamber music. So that should be a really interesting...
Excellent. Well, the program sounds good. Not sure what the specific pieces are. Hey, let's add also that tomorrow at 4 o'clock, there is a potluck and reading poetry by Angelo Jaramillo, accompanied by Jim Harlan on the guitar. And for more information, good heavens. I don't know where it is. Sorry. If you want to know where it is, write me an email and I'll try to figure it out. Didn't include it on there.
Well, another thing that's going on in town on Saturday is at Saturday evening, out at La Tienda in El Dorado, which is sort of reviving itself and I think well worth the 15-minute trip out to El Dorado, is the Sarah Burgess dance performance called Repeating the Past that I think would be of interest to the general public.
Or the zero-minute trip if you live there.
Or the zero-minute trip if you live there. That's right. Absolutely.
Hey, going back to Saturday, I know that we're being linear since
we
Diana's
haven't left
here.
Saturday.
I mean Friday.
Oh, okay.
Friday,
I'll let you do
tonight.
That. Yeah, tonight.
Isa Niafaga is going to be at the El Museo Cultural doing a... I just said the El Museo. Anyway, doing an event called...
It's like
Art
Pizza
for
Pie.
It's like the El Rey Theater.
Yes.
Art for Health Benefit.
Yes.
It is a wonderful benefit in which he performs, and there's music and art and...
Other people perform. They
other
have
people
African
perform.
They have all kinds of exotic performances and singing and dancing and drumming, all of which really focuses for the most part on Africa, since that is Cameroon is his
home. And
his home.
Every single penny that is raised will go straight toward helping people with illnesses and serious health conditions in his village in Cameroon.
And physical challenges
physical
of all
challenges.
Sorts. And the wonderful thing is you will go, you'll get marvelous entertainment and fabulous food because Akim, who is the genius in the kitchen over at Jumbo, always provides the food. So not only will it be an evening of entertainment, it will once again be an evening of great eating.
And it's 5 to 8:30. And also you can bring your kids because they will be completely occupied because there are so many art projects for them to do.
Yes.
So no babysitters necessary, ladies and gentlemen, and very worthy and super fun. I'm going.
Absolutely.
And what about the Leonardo da Vinci thing at the Lenzic tonight?
Well, there you go. It's a film that comes out of the National Gallery in London. It's a huge exhibition of Leonardo's work. It's probably the most objects by Leonardo that are brought together in one place. And there's this great mystery that's been built around the revelation of a new work. That doesn't mean that someone just made it. It just means that someone finally discovered it, and it has been formally attributed to Leonardo.
And what about the burlesque show at the CCA tonight?
Huh? Tell me about
There's
that.
There's a burlesque show, Zirkus Erotique Burlesque, which is a Santa Fe burlesque company of mostly, but I think not all women. I just had one of the people on it, one of the women talking about it the other day here on the Radio Cafe. And they are performing, and there's an opening of Frederick Wiseman's film Crazy Horse. And it's a fundraiser for the burlesque troupe, and they're going to be screening the film. And it's a long film about a burlesque venue in Paris called Crazy Horse.
And which is where it was invented.
Which is where it was invented many years ago. I don't
Plus
even know how long ago.
The French origin of the word burlesque.
Yes. And I did see this film. It is long, and it's exactly in the same style as Wiseman's documentary on the Paris Opera Ballet, with a peek behind the scenes. And what's amazing to me is that the burlesque choreographer and artist seems to be every bit as serious about the art as the ballet choreographers of the world famous ballet.
Well, then definitely put that on your list.
Just saying.
And if we move to Sunday, we have some other interesting things going on. Obviously, the dance performances and the theater performances, but a 4x4x4, Saturday and Sunday are different.
Yeah,
different plays.
Two programs of two plays.
Exactly. So on Sunday night they're doing Consorting with Angels and The Tide. So you've got two evenings. It's not like you've got a choice to see the same thing twice. Just wanted to clarify that.
And you can check out TheaterWorks website. I believe it's theaterwork.org.
Yes. There's a wonderful event. Here we are. We're going to praise Zane Bennett again. Sandy is marvelous. There's going to be an event called A Tribute to Agnes Martin, and I'll talk a little bit about that at Zane Bennett on Sunday. Another thing going on is the Santa Fe Film Festival Oscar Party. So if you really want to follow the Oscars, that's an astoundingly fun place to do it. It's at Rio Chama. And it should be some good food and some real entertaining talk.
Are you going to watch the Oscars?
No.
I never watch those things. I think I'm going to watch this year. I was very sorry to have missed the Grammys, because that was apparently a love fest beyond all love fests.
Well, and you kind of hope that that's the way all of these big events are going to be, but sometimes not so much. My main problem is, and it's not a point of pride, it's just that I don't actually have a television that works, that's connected to cable, so you can actually see all this stuff.
That's why you have to go to Rio Chama.
Which is why, you know, if you're like me, you want to go to Rio Chama and do that. But the other thing is that, you know, most of the good stuff on TV you can pick up on your computer later, so I'm thinking I can probably see the best parts. I went and followed some of the Grammy Love Fest after the fact, so.
Oh, okay. On Collected Works Bookstore on Wednesday and Thursday, the weekly story time for kids. Families are welcome to join with their children aged 0 to 5, and you can go to the cafe and have a snack, and children, especially those aged 0 and so on, must be accompanied by an adult.
Well, one of the things you need to know about Collective Works is that they have a very young man who advises on books for children. And I can't tell you who he is, but he just turned 2. And he's related to Mary. And it's really wonderful. I have 2 grandsons, and every time they come, one of our first hits is to go over to Collected Works, because each time we do that, they find new books. So their children's section is expanding at a sort of phenomenal pace and is a wonderful addition.
There's another completely random, in terms of linear chronology, event that I want to read, because I just got an email last night. Whiskey Shivers is playing at the Cowgirl, and that's on March 1st, which I believe is Thursday, at 8 in the evening. And Whiskey Shivers is a band that is traveling from Austin, Texas, and they're traveling, they're kind of touring, and so check them out. Their website is whiskeyshivers.com.
On Wednesday night, one of the things that is quite extraordinary is you can take a trip to Persia and be able to stay right here in Santa Fe. Mama Kadem, who is a brilliant singer, is going to be performing classical music of Iran, and it's just phenomenal. It's at the Benildis O'Shaughnessy Performance Space at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, right there on the campus with the Santa Fe Art Institute. And again, on Wednesday, there's going to be a lecture that's part of the Santa Fe Institute, not Santa Fe Art Institute, but the Santa Fe Institute up on the hill. Brian Christian's going to be coming and talking about the most human, what computers can teach us about being us.
That is a very, I heard Brian Christian speak.
He's a very good speaker.
I've just been reading his book. He's a good speaker.
Very
he's a young man.
Yep.
And he's involved with these things called Turing tests. So people are typing on a keyboard and they have to figure out whether the being they're talking to is another human who's typing back or a computer that has been programmed to respond to people. And the majority of people can tell, but there are some computer programs that are so good that people don't know whether they're talking to people or humans. And when I heard Brian Christian lecture, he was talking about how humans, it used the sort of philosophy of what are we, used to be like, how are we different from animals? And now it's, how are we different from machines?
Exactly. And it's so that talk, which should be fascinating, is going to be at the James A. Little Theater. And that's on Wednesday evening. When my son was back in college, in graduate school, was a long time ago, he was working with a group at Stanford on getting the computer to do proper translations from language to language, and idioms always ended up being the problem.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that his group was working on was the phrase, the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. And when it came out in Russian, it came out, the vodka's good, but the meat is bad. So, yeah, you got to kind of watch
which
that
is
one.
Better?
I don't know.
As a translation. One more thing. I have to say this
one. Go ahead.
Tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Travel Bug Bookstore, author Pamela Window is going to be giving a slideshow on Morocco. She made her home in Marrakesh for 7 years, and we'll be talking about her photojournalistic travels.
Oh, this is excellent. On Thursday, as one of the book talks, Joseph Marshall III is going to be talking about the Lakota way of strength and courage, lessons in resilience from the bow and arrow. And that's a Collected Works bookstore talk on Thursday. And also on Thursday, Mama Kadem, the Iranian singer, is going to be talking about the songs, Persian music. So it's music from Turkey and Iraq and Iran, from the whole Persian Gulf. And that's going to be at O'Shaughnessy Performance Center at the University of Art and Design as well.
Peaches and Queen, Etta James and Dinah Washington, features Albuquerque's jazz contessa Patti Littlefield with vocals by Jim Arend, acoustic piano John Gagan, many more. And that, oh, this is an Albuquerque listing. 7 o'clock at Nahalat Shalom at 3606 Rio Grande Boulevard. And on the 26th, I guess that's Sunday, at the Center for Spiritual Living here in Santa Fe. For more information, 989-1088.
So while we're talking about out of town, all of us Santa Feans have this sort of fascination. We're happy to go up to Taos to ski, but we tend not to do anything else much in Taos. I have a great recommendation for the community, and that is the Harwood Museum up in Taos has a phenomenal exhibition of Agnes Martin's early work.
Yes,
you know,
tell
us. We think of Agnes mostly in terms of her later minimalist work, you know, these beautiful paintings that are subtle and striped and talk
they're
about
stripes going
horizontal
across the
stripes,
canvas.
Exactly. And she's done some gridded work, but most of it really is horizontal stripes. Well, the early
but
work
it turns out she can draw?
The early work is so telling, and if you compare what we know of like Piet Mondrian, you know, those brightly colored, squared, sort of rectangular paintings, to his early work, you begin to understand how he got to where he got. And from these beautifully drawn and subtly colored early works of Agnes Martin, you will also begin to see the development and the refinement and the sort of elimination of what she felt were unnecessary details as she developed her later work. It's a beautiful, beautiful exhibition.
And it's just about time to go. The music has started. Diane Karp, I want to thank you for being here. Diane Karp is she's the executive director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, SFAI.org is the number over there. A lot of stuff going on there, which we hope to talk about on the radio soon. Thank you so much.
What a pleasure. Everybody have a very artful weekend.
Indeed.
And week.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org, and I'm
on Twitter, at Radio Cafe MC. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's fabulous and award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carta. Have a great weekend. Hasta la vista.
Adios. Ciao.